Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does straw have in common with wheat? Well, it comes from the same place. That's about it, though. One is of great value, the other is basically useless. The best you can do with it is use it for bedding, maybe mulch. The best thing to do with it is use it as tinder and burn it up. Jesus said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and would I that it were already kindled." You feel Jesus' distress here? He is distressed about his bloody baptism. It reminds me of Jesus' words later, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it is for this purpose that I have come unto this hour. In Gethsemane, Jesus' soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, and he prays that this cup of wrath given to him by his Father now be taken from him. He is full of dread of what's about to happen, and yet determined, "Yet your will be done." In today's text, Jesus dreads the fire and the bloody baptism of coming. He dreads the suffering and the crucifixion and the death that is coming. Not only because of the physical torments, not only because of the enduring of the wrath of God, but also because of the side effects that's going to happen because of what he's about to accomplish. This gospel given unto the world is also going to be a source of division. And it's not the fault of the gospel. You see, the gospel is peace. It's not a message of peace. I think there's a very subtle difference there. It is peace. The gospel is a peace pact written in the blood of Christ from God Almighty to us sinners on earth. It is peace. But only if you're willing to accept it. Accept the peace of God. And yet Jesus' death causes painful division among us. It's ironic that God's peace pact that brings peace between us and God also brings division between us and others. It is peace. It's just not always the peace that everybody would prefer. You see, Isaiah is true when he calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. The night that Jesus was born, the angels sang, "Glory unto God in the highest and peace on earth." The night when he was betrayed, he tells his disciples, "Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." On Easter Eve, Jesus really meant it when he said, "Peace be upon you." Jesus gives us his peace. He gives us literally his peace that surpasses all understanding. Isaiah talks about it poetically this way, "And the wolves shall lie with the lamb, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." This is the peace of God. This is a peace between God and man. It is the peace of a believer's heart. It is the peace of knowing that your grievous and numerous sins have been forgiven and covered up by the blood of the lamb. This is God's peace he gives unto you. Now, some people would prefer a different kind of peace. Some people would prefer the gospel to say something about world peace. For some, when they think about the Christian church, they think about God somehow imposing sinful humans' will upon everybody else. You know how easy peace would be if you would just make me emperor? I could knock this thing out in a matter of days. I'm probably going to have to kill a few people, but that's what some people think when they think about world peace. They think about, can't we just all get along? Well, no, we can't. We can barely get along, Jesus says, within our own families. How many of you got somebody in your family that you thought about? Well, never mind. No, just not go that way. I just sent mine to college, so everybody's safe for the time being. Some expect a millennial kingdom on earth, a veritable kingdom of Jesus Christ. But it's never going to happen. Not on earth. Not like this. Not in our sinful state. Why? Because we're sinners. And we want things to go our way. Nothing divides like Jesus. Nothing divides like Jesus. Not politics, not world fiscal policy, not gender studies. There's only two genders, by the way. You can be a man, you can be a woman, you can't be a thousand other things that they're coming up with. Scientific, nothing divides like Jesus. When it comes to Jesus, some will believe and some will refuse to believe. Salvation will come unto some, and some will be caught up by that stumbling block. And some will fall into even greater sin, and division upon the earth shall multiply. It has been that way since the fall. The division has been in this world since the fall. Adam and Eve were divided from God by their sin, but they were also divided from each other. Do you see how quickly they start turning on one another? Adam's first response is that woman you gave me. She gave me to eat and caused me to sin. I mean, it's just right then he's throwing her under the bus. If he had a bus. Cain and Abel were divided. One did well. The other is moved to murderous jealousy because his brother did well. Think about the divisions between the believers and the unbelievers, even in Noah's day. Noah builds an ark on dry land. What do you think his neighbors must have thought about him? Sodom and Gomorrah. The children of Israel and Pharaoh. Let my people go. Think about all the prophets and all the words that were spoken unto them. The people were divided. Some believed, some refused to believe, some actually preferred, after all the things that God had done for his people, they preferred to worship the Baals and the Asherah poles. They preferred their fertility cult to the Lord God Almighty. And you think, how in the world could they have possibly done that? And yet we see it happen every single day in our own lives. People now begin their conversations with you with divining their identity. And their identity starts with their sexuality. Hello, I'm George. This is my sexuality. Who does that? Well, somebody whose God is their sexuality. We've always had divisions. Whenever Jesus preached, people were divided. Some believed and some didn't. The two thieves on the cross were divided. One of them believed in repentance and says, you know, Jesus, forgive me and think about me when you come into your kingdom. The other continued to scoff and scowl. One refused, the other saved. Luke has many references to Jesus who brings division. To Simon said, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Jesus' entire ministry brings division, especially between the scribes and the Pharisees who reject his message, and then the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners who receive him in faith. Why is this? Jesus said, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and oh, I wish it were already kindled. That fire started when Jesus died on the cross, and it has been burning ever since. Jesus doesn't want the division. Jesus doesn't want the strife. But oh, how I wish it were already kindled. Oh, how I wish it were already already over. Jesus wishes that this fire had already been started, that with his baptismal work had already been complete. Jesus begins his work in the Jordan River, in his baptism, baptized into his crucifixion and death, and he cannot wait for it to be done. He cannot wait for the words, "It is finished." He begins his ministry in the baptismal waters of the Jordan, where he goes there to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus purposefully places himself under the wrath of God. And he does that for you and for me. He begins his ministry in water. He completes his ministry with a bloody baptism upon the cross. The full wrath of God is placed upon him as he atones for the sins of the world. And he dreads it. He dreads the cross. He dreads the division that it will cause. But he doesn't shrink from it. You see, our Lord is determined to do that which God had sent him to do. One of the most painful effects in ministry is the division of the family that this causes. Jesus gives us an example of a family of five: a mother, a daughter, a father, a married son, and his wife. And 2 against 3 and 3 against 2. Some believe in Jesus and some don't. No one is neutral. Nothing divides a family like the gospel. And that's probably the hardest part. It's probably the most hurtful part. So very few of our families have the blessings anymore of being joyfully united in the same faith. And I think most of us have felt this pain. But take comfort. Take comfort, those of you who struggle. Take comfort in those of you who doubt. I mean, Jesus knows your pain. Jesus knows what it's like to be divided from his family. Remember, at one part in Scripture, Jesus and his brothers come to the house where Jesus is teaching. They have heard about what people are saying about Jesus, and they believe that Jesus has lost his ever-loving mind. Of course, on the same thing, if one of your siblings had started telling people that you were the Son of God, what would you have believed? I'm going to give Jude and the boys a little bit of leeway on here. Because even if your big brother is Jesus and was perfect all of his life, it's still going to be a little hard to go, "Yep, he's the Son of God." But like any good Jewish family, they hear these things. They hear what everybody else is saying about Jesus. Some believe, some don't. And they come to collect their brother and take care of him. We have come to take Jesus. Jesus has some pretty terse words for his family. His only family, his own family, don't believe him. At least not until after the resurrection. That's a movie that we really need to be made. It's Jesus showing up to the family barbecue 5 days after his death. "I see you." Explaining to his family that he really is who he says he is. They will be divided, though. Father against son, son against father. This is what happens on the cross, isn't it? The father and the son are divided. The father forsakes the son. Not because the son did anything wrong in himself. The father forsakes the son because the son has the weight of our sin placed upon him. He bores all of those wrongs in himself. All of our sins he has upon himself. And this divides him from the father. And the son dies because of it. A death we deserved. And the Son is cut off from the Father that we might be reconciled to that same Father through the peace given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt division? Remember that Jesus knows your sadness. Jesus was tempted in every way that we were tempted, and yet without sin. He was persecuted by his own family, persecuted in his own hometown, those who really ought to have known him best. And he comforts you. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And therefore, keep witnessing unto your families. Continue to state your witness about your Lord and Savior. It's okay. And maybe it causes division. But you've not caused that division. The gospel has. And they say, don't do it in any obnoxious way. I don't know who they are, by the way. They say, don't be obnoxious. They say, be winsome, but don't be obnoxious in your confessing of Jesus Christ. And I would agree with the winsome part, but I want to also add, don't be soft about it. Don't be weak about it. Don't be docile about it. I'm going to tell you, if we soft pedal the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore, we're going to have a hard time rolling a bicycle down a hill. It's like we stand on the brakes and go, in the name of peace, I'm not going to bring it up. That's not peace. It's not real peace. It's not the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not the peace pact between a God and his people. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. To the Jew who demands signs, to the Greeks that demand wisdom. It is the peace of God. Keep praying for them. Keep the word of God first and foremost within your own heart and your own mind and your own mouth. Keep receiving the sacraments, and God will strengthen you through these trials. You may find no support in your earthly family, but there is support in your church. There, here, we are united by faith. Closer than blood relatives. And even if your entire family should forsake you, your entire biological family, you are still a part of the family of God. And the time is coming when that last great division will take place, and the clouds of judgment will gather, and Jesus will divide the sheep from the goats, and the believers on the right and the unbelievers on the left. And those who have courageously confessed the faith, even unto their unbelieving family, those will be confessed by Jesus to his Father. And everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Take heart. In heaven there will be no more divisions. And we will live in perfect peace and unity. In the name of God. Amen. Let us rise.